This is Ozarks at Large. McSweeney's is a publishing house, but that doesn't do it justice in its description. Founded more than a decade ago by Dave Edgars, McSweeney's is home for a quarterly, for novels, for the magazine The Believer, for a series of DVDs, a series of oral histories titled Voice of Witness, and a blog at McSweeney's.net. Over the past 11 or 12 years, McSweeney's publications have included scores of talented writers and artists, names including Michael Chabon, Kevin Brockmeyer, Sarah Vowell, John Hodgman, Joyce Carol Oates, and David Byrne. To celebrate the 11th or 12th anniversary of McSweeney's, there is a new hardbound book, The Art of McSweeney's. Chris Ying is co-publisher of the book and joins me on the phone. Chris, welcome to Ozarks at Large.
Thanks. Nice to be with you.
It's if you're trying to explain McSweeney's to the uninitiated, it's not an easy thing to do, is it?
No. I mean, McSweeney's is a pretty diverse publishing company. We've got a lot of interests and a lot of different projects going on, and you know, each one has a pretty unique face of its own, so it is a little difficult to try and pin us down into one sentence, I guess.
what it strikes me about McSweeney's different endeavors and this book, The Art of McSweeney's, is that really every time you turn a page, you might be seeing something you just didn't expect to see in that journal or in the magazine or on the video.
Yeah, I think that every page of the book is giving you a different angle on something, on independent publishing and the things we do. You know, each page, it's organized in some fashion where, you know, we'll be talking about The Believer and we won't randomly switch to talking about our quarterly fiction journal or something. But you're right, it's very eclectic in there, and you open it up and you'll see different stories from completely different time periods.
You can't go anywhere without hearing that the printed word, as we've known it for basically since Gutenberg, is dying. But I think McSweeney's publications say it doesn't have to. It can still be engaging, and it can still be something that catches your eye with design and great writing. Is that part of the idea?
Definitely. It seems like since Gutenberg, people have been saying that print is dying. Print is perpetually in a state of dying, or people are perpetually in a state of saying that print is dying, and we really don't believe that's true. And this book is definitely a celebration of the printed form and of independent publishing and of books in general, and the fact that, you know, Chronicle Books took an interest in publishing a book about us and about our books just goes to show that there are people, you know, who care about having a printed book in their hand and care about how books are made and care about books continuing to be made.
I mentioned some of the writers that have been included in the journals and have been published by McSweeney's. So obviously there is great care for the words that are in the publications. But what strikes people first, of course, is the art, the diverse and sometimes utterly surprising art. How do you make these go together so well?
Well, you know, we have a philosophy here about design, and that is that, you know, these authors and writers and artists spend a great deal of their personal energies and, you know, dedicate themselves to creating these works of literature, these works of art and things like that. And so, it's our obligation or our duty to try and package them as best we can and give them the presentation that they deserve. So, their writing always inspires our design. And so we just try to do right by our authors is our main design principle, I think.
You know, when people hear about a quarterly, for lack of a better term, a literary quarterly, most people get the same sort of image in their head. You've got this somewhat oddly sized, but consistently sized publication that comes out four times a year, and when you put it on a shelf, they'll all stack up neatly. That's not what happens with the McSweeney quarterlies.
Yeah, if you read the Art of McSweeney's book, there's a section where our first editor, Eli Horowitz, talks about how he and Jordan Bass, the managing editor of the quarterly, had come to terms a long time ago with the fact that if you try to stack our books up next to each other or on top of each other, it's not really going to look like anything. It'll just be a jumbled mess of differently shaped boxes and papers and things like that. And so we kind of like that eclectic feel. We like that every issue of the quarterly will be completely redesigned and subscribers will be surprised with what they see instead of finding the same shaped book every time.
And actually, when you put them then all in a row, it looks like a real person's bookshelf.
That's right. It looks like, you know, a person who has eclectic taste put together this collection instead of just, you know, a row of encyclopedias or something.
When you're dealing with this sort of eclecticism and trying not to be the same from publication to publication, it seems like that's a high level of difficulty. And I don't know, are there spirited discussions about design at McSweeney's, about what is working and what isn't working on a publication in progress?
You know, I think that the nice thing about working here is that there are a few of us, and there's not a lot of time for the spirited discussion about design. It's kind of like if somebody has an idea and it sounds like it might work, then we should go ahead and try it, you know, and that's the beauty of getting to redesign the quarterly every single time is we get to try as many different techniques and as many different pieces as we want. And, you know, the same with the novels and things like that is every time we do another one, we have another chance to refine the design and change it up. So, yeah, I think we're kind of just a trial and error company. We're not a big discussion company.
I'm talking with Chris Ying. He's co-publisher of The Art of McSweeney's, the new book out that celebrates the 11th or 12th anniversary. They're inside the book, Art of McSweeney's, that parenthetical question, whether it's the 11th or 12th anniversary, exists.
The 11th or 12th anniversary thing sort of came about because of how long it took us to put this book together. We kind of, it was originally conceived, I think, as our 10th anniversary, and then as deadlines slipped by, it became the 11th, and then, you know, I think we put the 12th in there just to pad ourselves and give us some insurance against another blown deadline. So it's the 11th or 12th, probably closer to the 11th.
If you get the book, The Art of McSweeney's, and it, of course, has a dust cover, and it took me a few hours to realize this, if you take off the dust cover and open it up, there is this brilliant, it turns into this brilliant poster, doesn't it?
Yeah, the dust jacket for the book unfolds into a big poster featuring, I think, 32 stories that Dave Eggers wrote, and that jacket, or a version of that jacket, was originally published as the cover of our 23rd issue of our quarterly, and on the reverse of it, it's a reversible poster, is a poster of portraits drawn by Charles Burns, who is the great graphic novelist who does the cover portraits for all of the Believer magazine issues.
And in fact, inside The Art of McSweeney's, you can see a step-by-step process he did for one of the music issues of the Believer, and you see how he goes from sketch to final product.
Yeah, that's a fantastic little piece. You get to see not only how an artist works, but also how, you know, the cover of this magazine is kind of conceived and then executed.
It seems that at the heart of all of this is respect for the reader, that you're not taking the reader for granted.
Yeah, I mean, I think that this book is great for anybody who cares about the printed word and cares about books and art and things like that. But, you know, it's also a little bit about us trying to give back to this readership that we have that's been incredibly loyal to us and is always incredibly supportive in times when we've been in need and things. And so this is definitely for our readers to get a glimpse into what we do to try and provide them with the quarterly and the magazines and the novels on a somewhat timely basis.
If you're a small staff and you try to be somewhat timely, as you say, what is it like as you approach a deadline there at McSweeney's?
You know, it can vary, and we've been trying to be a little bit better about our deadlines, but generally, as a deadline approaches, you know, tempers flare and, you know, hair grows greasier, and it becomes just sort of a little bit of a mess. But, you know, it's always a relief when we send something to press.